El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendrick Show. We just took a very, very brief 20-hour break, and we're back.
Yeah, I don't mean now, man. We're saying about how it seemed like we're always here.
Exactly. I mean, working in radio, and it's like any other job. You never, if you work for a living, and we all do, but if, especially if you work a full 8-hour gig, or you're just working very intensely at any job, it's like you never leave it, isn't it? It's like, where did I actually go home and sleep and eat and see my wife and kids, or my husband and my kid? You know, or haven't I just always been here?
What do you mean? You know, man, like, don't it feel like you never go home?
No.
All right. Well, you asked the wrong guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I went home, but did you guys stay here?
No, we didn't stay here. I'm not saying that we stayed here. I'm saying that it feels, Bud, sometimes like, doesn't it feel to you like, you know, oh, here we are again?
Yeah, but I mean, I know that I went home and I even know what I had for dinner. You know, I had a Salisbury steak and I had a succotash. And,
but it's fine. Don't tell me what you... I believe that you went home, you know.
Didn't you?
Yes, I went home.
What did you have for dinner?
Yeah, what did you have for dinner?
What business is it of you guys what I had for dinner?
Because you're on a diet.
Well, what I have every night when I get off the air. Every night I get off the air, I have the same thing. And I love it. I don't know why. I just love it. And it's a protein shake. That's what I have. I have a scoop of the whey protein powder. I have two bananas. And,
Oh, speaking of that, man, just did a girl eating a banana on a TV show?
Yeah, it was on a Scarborough show. I saw that.
Yeah, excuse me, did you ask me a question about something?
Yeah.
Can I answer it?
Oh, yeah, okay. You just reminded me about a girl who had a banana up in her face.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Oh, isn't that funny? A girl was eating a banana. What I'm saying is, you guys asked me what I have for dinner. I had a shake, I have whey powder, I have two bananas and four strawberries. Why do I have that very specific shake? Because I know the calories. 110 calories for a scoop of the protein powder, 242 calories for the bananas, and 24 calories for those four strawberries. That combination makes a very delicious shake, which I find to be very, very good.
Yeah, and then you have a bunch of popcorn.
Yeah, then I have a bunch of popcorn. You're right, because that's... because I'm still on this diet, and I ain't stopping until I get to 210 pounds, and once again, I've hit another one of these plateaus. And the plateau is something that's common when you hit these diets, man, because all of a sudden I started thinking about myself being on the air. I'm suddenly self-conscious, you know. Maybe we ought to just start the show, you know, and...
No. Go.
Yes, sir.
Go.
Okay. Okay, so anyway, the diet that you go on, you'll hit these plateaus, and it happens. The body reacts to losing the weight, and it will say, the body doesn't say, the body just reacts biochemically to the fact that you're losing weight, so it stops, slows the metabolism down, so you're not burning as many calories, because the body only knows one thing. There's not as much food coming into it as there used to be. Is there a famine going on? Is there something wrong? Do we need to retain calories here? Do we need to help save the organism here, the life that is here? And I can see the look in his face.
Well, what you see in a body says that.
The body doesn't say that. It's a biochemical thing. I'm just putting it into terms that are easier to understand. And when you hit those plateaus, and I hit a plateau at 253, I was there for, 253 was a bitch, man. I was there for 3 weeks at 253. It really was driving me crazy until I finally went out and doubled up the exercising I was doing. And then finally the weight started coming off again. Then I hit another plateau at 233, which wasn't too long ago, and I was there for like 2 weeks. And now I've hit another one at 227.
But you just keep on plateauing.
Yeah, what if it's just a plateau and there's never a downslope?
Yeah.
Well, there's always going to be a downslope. There will be a downslope. It's just I got to go out and, like I did today, and I'll do it again tomorrow, I got to go out and hit the beach and double up the time that I'm spending out there either jogging or walking on it, and it'll get started again, man. I got a feeling that this time next week I'll be close to, you know, down to around 223, 222, something like that, but... it's been a long process. It started in March, and here's the thing. I am probably about a month. I am a month behind schedule, and I don't think that I'll hit 210. I thought I'd hit it by my birthday, which was September the 1st. I now do not believe I will hit 210 until probably the first week in August, probably late in that week. I mean, excuse me, October. The first week in October, probably late in that week. So, therefore, it's going to be, another month of hard work.
Yeah, but you know something, man? You'll be able to have Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and you'll also be able to do Halloween and everything. Yeah, think about it, man. You didn't miss the Halloween. You didn't miss a beat. In other words, you went on a diet and you didn't even miss Halloween or anything.
Yeah, last year you could shove all that can in your face, right? Then you got good and fat. Now you go on a diet. You can go and stick the candy in your mug again.
Yeah, if you wanted to, you could gain the weight back and still go on a diet again.
Oh, sure. That's what I want to do, bud. You know?
Well, I'm just saying.
You're just saying what? You're just saying I lost all this weight, so I think I'm going to really gorge on Halloween and Thanksgiving, which you're right. Those are, to talk about two eating holidays, God, two of my favorites, man. You know?
What about Easter?
Nah, Easter, you don't get the good, all it is a rabbit.
No, man, you got like chocolate egg and all that.
Forget Easter, man. Easter, I don't relate to Easter. You got an egg and you're like, yeah, that's cool. Easter is a Christian. I just don't. But the point that I'm making here is, and then I will move on mercifully, is that it is a weight level that I'm going to have to work another month at. And no, I'm not losing all this weight, man, just so I can go out and shove food into my face again, bud, and get all the way back up to 290 pounds, 300 pounds. I don't want to do that. You know, when you hit 300 pounds, you can't avoid it anymore. You can't say, well, you know, I'm retaining water and I'm just a little, I tend to be heavy. No, you are a fat ass at 300 pounds.
Yeah, you're like 6 foot tall.
I'm 6 foot tall. It doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah, well, a lot of guys are 6 foot tall at 300.
No, they're not, man. If you're 6'5", 300 pounds, you might play offensive line in the NFL. If you're 6'5", but if you're 6 feet tall, 300 pounds, and you do a gig like I do, which is basically sitting on your ass every night, yap, and, you know, and doing other weird things that only people with a backstage pass who watch Phil TV in HD could possibly understand, you, my friend, are a fat slob. So in any event, March 19th, I thought by the 1st I'd be at 210. That's the target weight. That will continue to be the target weight. And I have come up with that target weight in concert with my doctor, who said to me, good old Dr. Emery said to me, well, now, Phil, I don't know, you know, you're doing a great job. He was blown away, man, when I went to see him a couple of months ago. And he said, man, why don't you just make it 220? You know, I said, no, doc, no. I said, you and I both said I ought to be down around 210, maybe even two. He goes, you know what? You're right. Let's make it 200. Or 210, and so...
What is this guy? He sounds like he's a mad scientist or something.
Yeah.
Not a mad scientist. Why?
You see he wears two-tone shoes?
No, my mom said... My aunt said, sure sign a man is under a lot of mental pressure, you know, wearing a two-tone.
Who is?
But any man you know. That's what my aunt said.
Your aunt said that any guy that wears two-tone shoes is under an exorbitant amount, an enormous amount of mental pressure?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I guess she had experience. And her husband, my uncle, he wore two-tone.
Yeah, you wear a two-tone shoe like the saddle shoe or the very stylish cordovan.
Where are you guys coming from with this bull crap? Get her on the phone. I want to talk to her about that. We also have Debbie Daly. We also have Vernon Dozier. We have the Democratic National Convention to talk about. President Clinton, former President Clinton, spoke at the Democratic National Convention. And according to all who were there, most of them supporters of the Democratic National Convention, he knocked it out of the park. He clobbered it. He just destroyed it. He killed, as they say, in the comedy racket. He didn't just put it out of the stadium. He didn't just put it off the playing surface. He knocked it out of the stadium, and it's bouncing down the long, narrow driveway up the hill to Chavez Ravine, if you get all of those baseball references. He really did a great job, according to them. I saw parts of the speech. I'm afraid I didn't see all of it. The parts that I did see, classic Bill Clinton, where he has a way of breaking down a topic, couching it in a little bit of cajole, and you know, a little bit of a jab here and a jab there, but essentially putting it in a way that is understandable, I think, to a lot of voters who don't want to be yelled at necessarily. I'm not saying that this is just a comment on the guy's style, you know, which is obviously a winning style. We'll be back with that and more. And our Bobby Dooley download is in the Phil Henry Show shop. We got a lot to talk about. 877-877. Oh, wait, we're not giving the number out, right?
No.
Okay, I'm not going to give the number out. All right. Anyway, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be back with Debbie Daly and Vernon Dozier right after this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, just a minute, Debbie.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night here, I started to give 8-7, say, I started to say 8, so what can I do with that?
Yeah, make it like you ate something?
Ate dinner just before I came on, and you can hear in the back, we have Debbie Daly, who is in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have Vernon Dozier on the line from Glendale, California. Vernon and Debbie, how
are
you guys doing?
We're
going to talk with the two of you about the convention so far. And, of course, as we like to do on the show, we have two opposing viewpoints here. The conservative viewpoint represented, I guess, by Mr. Dozier, and the liberal viewpoint represented by Debbie Daly. Debbie, by the way, I should tell you, is the host of a morning show on public radio called Daly's Daily. She is the first and only hearing-impaired individual to host a radio show that I know of. And Debbie, I'll ask you about that in just a second. I do want to tell everyone that we have our Bobby Dooley download. The tracks, you get the entire download for $24.99. It's in our shop right now. It's called The Ever So Best of Bobby Dooley. The very many appearances that she's had on our show, we distilled these from votes that were taken from our Backstage Pass members. And they hit a home run. They really did. We went through, and so many of these bits come from a similar period of time for Bobby, around 2002, 2003, 2004. But I would suggest that if you really want to get a smile on your face real fast, and I mean like really fast, get the Ever So Best of Bobby Dooley. It's in our shop right now. And the first track, and let me tell you, when you're talking about comedy, what better title for a track than Dachau?
Man, that was, you know, that's almost off-putting, man.
I know, but it's not what you think. It's a trip that Bobby and Steve took to Germany, and it's pretty funny. In any event, that's the freebie, and we have 12 cuts on the Ever So Best of Bobby Dooley in our shop. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And, Debbie, I started talking about you here, and with your indulgence, Vernon, I will ask Debbie some questions about, you know, her rise in the radio business.
Absolutely, Phil. I've been very fascinated myself to hear it.
Debbie, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well.
Well, it's always our pleasure. You have this... physical challenge. When you first approached the public radio entity that you did to do your morning show, what did they say? Okay. Vernon, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be on with Ms. Daly. And I, as a teacher, Ms. Daly, I would tell you that you are an inspiration, I think, to a lot of young people and a lot of people just in what you've been able to achieve. And thank you very much. Okay, Phil.
What did you ask him?
I think that I will. Yes, I will.
All right. Let me start off here by asking you, Vernon, what are you taking away from this Democratic convention?
Well, I think, Phil, first of all, you describe me as a conservative. I think I'm very conservative in many ways, but I think I do share the, if you want to call it liberalism, I don't. I call it Americanism. I do share some values with the Democrats, their commitment to certain rights. I have to tell you, I'm still a little fuzzy on the gay rights, as well as the so-called pro-choice or abortion rights. I'm a very conservative when it comes to those things, but I certainly have no problem at all with black people eating in the same restaurant as myself, and I even have no problem at all with black people being my boss, for instance. So I think I share...
Well, that's sort of a... That's a fight that's been fought.
Well, you know, yes, I suppose you could say it's been fought for some people, but I don't think the jury is in just yet. And I have, in recent years...
You don't think the jury's in on the rights of minority people, whether they're black or Hispanic?
I think that there are a great many people, more and more, coming over to the side that minority people, African American, Hispanic, and so forth, and even the Jewish people. I think more and more people are coming over to the side that they deserve to be able to vote. But I don't think I don't think the story is told yet.
Boy, I got to tell you, just as an opinion.
Well, hold on. I mean, you're asking me.
No, you're right. Go ahead.
But I would say this, Phil. What I'm taking away from the Democratic National Convention is the following thing. I'm taking away the very thing that I heard Margaret Gray taking away from the Republican Convention. I hate to use a term that the kids use. I'm grossed out.
What does that mean?
I'm looking at the people that are standing up and cheering, and it's to put it the way a lot of the students would put it in my school, it just grosses me out. A lot of them are in their jeans, the teeth that some of these people have.
Go ahead, Debbie. Okay, so Debbie, what you're saying is, for my audience, your teeth aren't that great, and you, because you're hearing impaired, your body, you haven't had good hygiene. So she said that she can't hear people tell her she smells, whatever that means, you know.
All right, I got to be honest with you. I don't understand anything she's saying. I've tried to fake it here for the last few minutes, and obviously... I don't understand. I tried to fake it.
What do you mean you tried to fake it?
Well, when she was going, I would say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, because I'm trying to be polite. But when she starts in telling me that I'm supposed to look at a television with bad teeth and B.O. and people in jeans, that's when I've got to just come clean and say, well, you know what, then I have to tell you, I don't understand a word you're saying. All right?
She said that you had said yes to taking her out for a drink right at the beginning of the interview.
When did I say that? See, I don't understand what she's saying.
Well, you said that you did. You know, you were going, yes, uh-huh.
All right, well, I don't.
Well, she just said there, do you want me to repeat what you said? She just said that at the beginning of the interview, she asked you, would you take her for a drink and then lay her on the hood of a car?
Oh, bullcrap. And I don't understand what she's gibbering about. And I didn't say yes to anything like that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, man.
Well, then why didn't you say something to me?
Because I found it rather amusing that you would go ahead and assent to something like that. So I just let it go.
Oh, you didn't even know what she was saying. As a matter of fact, Mr. Henry...
Yes, I did know what she was saying.
Well, I think both of you are lying. Now, I don't know whether that means this interview is going to continue, and I want to talk about the Democratic convention, but for her, for Mumbles here...
Don't call her Mumbles, okay?
Well, that's what Mumbles... What does she want me to call her? She's got layer on the hood of a car. That's dirty pool. And that is what I call the kind of manipulation of freedom of speech that is chilling me. It chills me out. It's not the chilling of freedom.
All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Vern Dozier and Debbie Daly from Daly's... Daly's Daily. Phil, we're on the line here with Debbie Daly from National Socialist Radio. You understand? I didn't know that was the name of the network.
Can I say something, Phil?
Hold on. National Socialist Radio does not sound like a liberal radio network. It sounds like a Nazi network.
Can I just jump in here?
Okay, go ahead.
National Socialist means Nazi. Yes, it does. It means Nazi because National Socialism is what the Nazis called it. I know you're talking about you.
Well, you've been really effective there, Vernon. Can I take over again?
Go ahead.
By
the way, I just jump in for one more thing.
What?
I just saw Anthony Villagrosa, the mayor of Los Angeles, stand up in front of this convention and say three words and then walk off. That's how compelling the mayor of L.A. is. You've got the mayors of New York. You've got the mayors of Chicago. You've got... Now, Clinton's coming on. I thought he already spoke.
Obviously, it's a tape.
Oh. All right.
That's fine. I know they took a chance on you, calling themselves National Socialist Radio. Is there anybody over there with a brain in their head? That used to mean Nazi. I understand that they're a socialist, liberal network, all that bull crap, but when you call it National Socialist, it sounds like Nazi. Let me bring Dean Wheeler. Oh, okay. You're right. I don't know what I'm talking about. Dean Wheeler on the line with us here, and Dean is in Novato, California. I thought you were in Mill Valley, Dean. I don't know.
I don't know why you think that, Phil. A lot of people always make the mistake. They think because I am, because we have a holistic center and because we do believe in natural healings and natural curatives and because we have a great many affluent supporters and donors, they automatically assume we're in Mill Valley. No, we're here in Novato, California, and we have been for a number of years. So we do a lot of business in Mill Valley. And I go down there on a regular run to visit. We do some house calls a lot of times, especially people in the flu season, where we administer a number of different curatives, Phil, one of which, of course, is the one that you have not been a big fan of, and what we call it's called a hardball colonic. You don't like that, do you?
I've never had one. It doesn't sound very good, no.
Well, the hardball colonic, I'll tell you.
Well, can we not talk about that? We want to talk about the Democratic Convention.
Yeah. Well, that's Debbie. Hi, it's Dean Wheeler. Well, I came on the program, Debbie, because Phil said that you might need a little bit of help.
It's just that Vernon didn't understand you.
Well, and to be honest with you, Debbie, I couldn't. I think something needs to be said here, and I'll say this for Mr. Dozier. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, it's Vernon Dozier.
Well, sir, I'm saying this for your benefit as well. Debbie, I love you, and there are many of us who love you, but no one really can understand what you're talking about. We say that we do because we want you to have the job that you have. It's good, and the network, the public radio network, tells you that you've got lots of listeners to keep you happy, but when you do these interviews... Oh, I see. So I'm a queer now because I...
Debbie, would you watch your language?
Well, it's funny how people can understand you, Ms. Daly, when you start using words like that. You No, I do not use that word all the time, ma'am. No, I do not. Just because I'm a conservative doesn't mean I run around calling everybody the Q, the queer, or the F word, or things like that.
Don't use that word.
Oh, okay. All right, now I get it. Now I get it, Ms. Daly. You're killing the messenger because he brought a message. In the times of the Greeks, they used to kill the messenger. Well, isn't that great? But we're not living in the times of the Greeks. No, not even at my house. Oh, my God.
Debbie, you know, you're coming off really hostile, and you're also now turning into a homophobe, and Dean is a married man. He's straight.
Yeah, that's right, whatever I say. And I will tell you, Debbie, that nobody can understand you because it sounds like you've got something in your mouth.
Okay, so he had... It may be sexist and it may be piggish, but you're the one that called him half a F-word and a queer and all of these other things.
Get over that if the shoe fits. What does limp mean? Okay, Mr. Henry...
Hold on. Can we stop calling people names, Debbie?
I don't take Cialis intravenous, and I don't take Viagra intravenous. You know, I could start making some jokes about you, too. And the fact that you sound like you have one in your mouth, you sound like you've got about five of them. And
okay, all right. Thank you very much. Debbie, I've got you on the line with me here. I put Mr. Dozier on hold, and it sounds to me like Mr. Wheeler hung up. But the thing that I'm saying is, you're reacting not very much like an adult. I don't know whether that's true or not. What does the network say? The network says you have one of the highest-rated public radio shows. Now, you know that you are difficult to understand because of the impairment that you have, that you suffer to your hearing, correct? I understand that you lost your hearing when you were in a brass band. Nothing? Nothing is funny about it. No, I'm not. I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing, okay? I'm not laughing. Right. Debbie says that she played tuba in a brass band. Son of a bitch. God, you know what? I ought to hang up on you, too. I don't want to throw you into a ditch, okay?
You won't be the first one. Believe me, I've had to come up there roughly in my life.
I understand it's been rough for you, and I appreciate that, and I think you've done great things. And maybe it's wrong of the network to tell you you've got a lot of listeners, and maybe you don't have that few listeners, but Dean was simply trying to say a lot of people, probably most people, don't understand what you're talking about, okay? Because I do understand you, for some reason. Now, you were in a brass band, and you played the tuba, and they put you right in front of the guy with the two crashing cymbals. Is that what you're saying? So you played Stars and Stripes, your band did? Her high school band played Stars and Stripes Forever about 50 times in a Rose Parade, and she was in front of the guy with the cymbals. And that's where you lost your hearing. You don't like the song Stars and Stripes Forever. All right, do you still play tuba? Can you give us an example? Debbie played tuba in a brass band. This has taken us so far away from the Democratic Convention. But you know something, as long as you're left, what do you think? What did you think about President Clinton's speech? right. So,
what do you mean?
You said that you...
What do you mean?
I don't know what you just said. I didn't understand.
Wow. Wow.
Did you dump that?
Why?
Well, just in case anybody understood it.
No, I ain't dumping. Nobody can understand a word she said.
What'd she say?
Well, I can't tell you. Man, she let loose with a string of expletive deleted. Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, keep me out there, just in case anybody understood it.
If anybody understood it, well, I guess we'd have the argument that...
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it, man. If anybody said, hey, how come you let all that that gobbledygook go out? Say, because we didn't think nobody understand it.
Well, she dropped all kinds of MFs and F and everything. She told me what I could do with the microphone, the whole thing. I think, though, she's going to MP3 even after all of that. Some of her tuba playing that apparently she was either the tuba playing that she was doing when she was playing in the band or what it sounds like since she lost her hearing. And again, folks, this was as the result of 50 times she was listening to Stars and Stripes Forever in a marching band. Now, how many times do they crash the cymbals in Stars and Stripes Forever?
Well, I mean, think like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, bang, you know, da-da-da-da.
Probably about 100 times in each song.
100 times in each time. That's 5,000 times the cymbals banged into the...
into her head.
No wonder she lost her hearing. All right, so we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We will get back on the line here, Vernon Dozier, to try and get... It's probably not good that we have a debate. We'll try to get him back on the line and maybe Dean Wheeler, who can articulate better what these points of view are. When we come back here on the world-famous... Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, the Democratic National Convention.
Truth is
what we're talking about.
He's our bitch.
I'm not
Phil Hendry Show.
Nor would I be. I mean, before I get Vernon back here, I think of Debbie Daly. That's you, Vernon, right?
Yeah, Vernon Dozier here, Phil. Yeah.
All right, Debbie. I know that I shouldn't even have you back on the air. The things you just called me. Yes, I know that you have a disability and so on and so forth. I understand that, but I wanted to hear this recording of your tuba playing that we have that was MP3'd from your studio. All right, this is Debbie Daly. I'm not sure exactly what we have here, Debbie. You can give us some ideas. Okay, hold on. Yeah, it's, if you like tuba, it's...
That's, I think that's very good for a deaf girl, you know.
You gotta say hearing impaired.
Sorry. Yeah, it's tough for me too because my first wife played the tuba. If you, I don't understand you, Miss Daly. Can you turn that off, Phil, if you don't mind? Is Mr. Henry there? Is Mr. Henry there?
He stepped out to get a cup of coffee.
You better turn that off, or so help me God, something's going to happen here that isn't going to be good. I can't understand anything you're saying, lady, and I hate listening to that tuba because I had a wife that played tuba.
All right, here I'm back. I'm sorry, I went and grabbed some coffee. What happened?
Look, Phil, I can't stand listening to the tuba.
Oh, here we go with you and the tuba. You know, that reminds me of that Laurel and Hardy bit where that guy hated the piano so much, he busted the piano apart.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, the music box. Every time tuba comes up, you talk about your first wife. Anyway, Debbie...
Yeah, I do, because I can't stand it. I can't stand listening to it, and I can't stand thinking about her, and when I hear a tuba, that's all I can do is think about her. I'll be thinking about her now for the next probably 3 days because of that tuba. And the tuba music. And was that baby It's Cold Outside? I don't understand anything.
All right, Debbie, thank you very much. And,
Yeah,
okay, whatever you say there, Deb. God, what a mouth on her. So there she is with her tuba playing. And I was going to say to you, Ms. Daly, if you're still listening, that wasn't bad, as Vernon said, for a somebody with hearing problems.
She's got more than hearing problems, Mr. Henry. She is stone cold deaf. Okay, let's be honest. Let's get right out there and say it.
All right, well, what did you think of that tuba playing?
Do I got to say it again?
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't like the tuba. All right, let's get Dean Wheeler back on the air here and continue to talk here about the Democratic National Convention going on right now in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Dean, how you doing? Dean?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here. Sorry. Emerelda is cooking. She's making some of those raisin cookies tonight, and I just had a little with some cinnamon on it. It's really good. And I'm going to have to get in the garage and turn that off. We've got a car alarm that's been malfunctioning tonight, Phil. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, and Vernon Dozier's still here.
Hello, Vernon. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Dean, and give me your takeaway on this convention.
My takeaway? What is it?
Well, that's a common term that people are using.
It means, what did you think of the convention?
Well, I thought, again, President Clinton was absolutely remarkable. In fact, his speech is on right now. We already saw it, and we don't need to watch it again because, you know, what is that, Emerelda? Well, my wife is saying I'm not being honest with you, and why am I not being honest?
Hey, Phil, this is Emerelda.
Give me the phone back, okay? Quit screwing around.
That was your wife?
Yes, that was my wife.
Can I ask a question right now, Phil? Could you turn that car alarm off before I go start raving mad? I just had to listen to a tuba.
All right, I will, but I don't think...
I just had to listen to a tuba. I'd rather not hear a car alarm.
All right, I'm going to go do it right now, then. God.
I'm sorry, sir, but I don't want to listen to that.
I don't blame you.
All right, I'm on my way out right now. I'll go ahead and I'll turn it off. But I simply wanted to say that I thought it was a very good speech that the president gave, and I thought that what he said and what he, the support that he gave President Obama was good. But I'm not watching the speech right now, and Emerelda apparently wanted me to tell you the reason why I'm not watching the speech is I've got an ego problem. Is that what you're trying to say? Well, I don't think I have an ego problem.
Why do you have an ego problem?
Well, I think that President Clinton gets all of this attention, and I don't think that it's...
You got to be kidding me. You got a problem with President Clinton because he used to be president? That's what your problem is.
No, that is not my problem. My problem is simply he was president, and he won't go. I don't want him to go away.
What do you mean go? What is that about, man? You voted for the guy.
Yes, I voted for him, and yes, I support him. But wasn't he already president?
Yes, sir, he was president. But that's why they bring presidents back, because they have a certain level of there's a certain weight to the their presence and lending their support to a campaign.
All right, but Clinton is doing more than lending weight to a campaign. Every time you turn around, he's on television.
Well, so what's wrong with that? I thought you supported him.
I do support him, but he is acting like he's king you-know-what.
So you've got an ego problem when it comes to Bill Clinton.
No, I do not.
That's what it sounds like to me. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds to me like...
No, I don't have an ego problem. I don't have an ego problem. I'm tired of looking at him, that's all. And, Emerelda, you can say what you want. And here's your favorite lady, Elizabeth Warren, Emerelda. So why don't you go look at her and get out your Trojan twister while you're doing it. I gotta go. Ow, 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 ow.
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what happened there, but apparently he made some crude reference to his wife. All right, Vernon, anything else?
Well, I would just simply say that the Democrats never let you down. They always put on a good feel-good show. I like it. I like it a lot. I love watching the Democratic National Convention. I think they all look like Democrats. They never, ever fail me. They love to tell you how much we look like Republicans, but I have to tell you Democrats one thing. You all look like Democrats.
Now, in what sense?
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of them saying, oh, is that because we have a lot of black people? No, that's got nothing to do with it. The way they dress, the way they sweat, you know, I don't mean sweat, but the way that they dress and the way that they dance and the way that just the way that they present themselves on television in their informal wear and standing on chairs and holding a beer. And
I haven't seen anybody holding beers.
Well, believe me when I tell you, they have a very informal and I think slovenly look, if you want to be right honest about it, all right? And I say that, Phil.
Well, you know, that's a little insightful and insulting. Can't you stick to the actual messages that are being spoken either here or at the...
Well, no, because I'm saying that because they always say that we look like we're uptight, white-collar, white people. So they look slovenly and dirty and like people that you would immediately assume are going to break into your house. There. How's that feel?
But people are going to read that as race.
Well, then they're stupid. I'm talking about most of the white people I see.
All right, Vernon Dozier, and thank you, Debbie Daly, again, and thank you as well, Dean Wheeler. And I'm sorry that you made that crack about your wife, Elizabeth Warren, and the Trojan Twister. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, is that what he said? Trojan Twister. That's good.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here on the West Coast till 1 o'clock and the East Coast till 4 a.m., a talk show that, if you want to call it a talk show, a spoken word show, a non-music show that keeps just right on breaking all the rules, baby. Because that's what we like to do here, because that's just what we like to do here and we don't care. If I cared, would we be featuring the Milwaukee Lions football games on the website?
No.
If I cared, would we be featuring such disgusting bits by Bobby Dooley as, you know, the Cobras out of the cage and Dachau on our downloads?
No.
If I cared what anybody thought, would we be sitting here effectively doing a radio show, doing a talk show, where we decided... within the last 48 hours, after sort of dancing with the concept for many years. But in the last 48 hours, we made the unilateral decision, and it was like taking a gigantic monkey off of my back to no longer answer the phone around here. We're not taking any calls. We're not taking any calls. We're not giving out the phone number. Not because I don't have any respect for you. As my listeners and as my supporters and or as just somebody casually going by the radio and turning it on. Because I believe that talk shows that spend any amount of time at all, any amount of time, it could be 1 minute, it could be 30 seconds, it could be 5 seconds, it could be 10 seconds, any talk show that spends any time giving out phone numbers and trying to get people to call it is wasting your time, the listener, the overwhelming majority of whom have never called a talk show and never will as long as they live on this planet. So for me to spend time seeing what I can do to get people to call the show wastes the time of the 99.999% of the people that are out there. All right? To do a political talk show takes a great deal of, whether it's a political talk show or any kind of a talk show, to be honest with you, do the show like the kind of show that we do, which is quite frankly, you know, I can't tell you about it in one sentence. But to do any kind of a good show, it takes a lot of concentration, it takes a lot of focus, it takes knowing exactly what your show is about, exactly what it is you want to do, exactly what it is you want to represent. If you're a conservative and that's all you think of yourself as, good luck. You know how many of them we got? So that's why a lot of those guys will come on and tell you, common sense radio or some other load of crap, right? But all of them have one thing in common, and the liberal shows too. They're all taking these phone calls. We, you know, when I made the decision here about 48 hours ago, I would say, not to give that number out ever again, or to take any more phone calls at present, let's say. And this is not a forever thing, but this is for now. It's just an absolute waste of time. I feel as if I have had a 8,000-pound load lifted off of my shoulders. I feel fantastic. It's the greatest I've ever felt. It's the greatest I've ever felt doing a radio show of any kind, because I have finally just released the tethers of one more anchor that holds me to the so-called terrestrial, and I don't mean that in terms of radio stations, but the earthbound kinds of radio shows. I don't want to be like those shows. I don't care what they're doing or what they're talking about or who they're lying to this week. I mean, they're all full of crap. So, you know, I'm here doing what I'm doing and what I do. I don't need to have people calling and taking their call and listening to their bull crap. Thank you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you or insult you, but that's just the way it is, okay?
Yeah, you shouldn't have said nothing, though.
Yeah, people are going to be upset now anyway.
What are they going to be upset about? The average listener, what is he going to be upset about? Authorities, two gunmen, what is he going to be upset that he can't call in? The average person doesn't call, man. They just do not call, okay? Authorities, two gunmen rob Los Angeles bank after strapping device to a manager's stomach. Now,
yeah, see, people are going to want to call about that.
Oh, they're not going to want to call about that. People are doing one thing and one thing only. They're listening to me, man. They're not waiting to see what fantastic person is going to call up the Phil Hendry Show. There are reasons why we made this decision. If I go any further into those reasons, then I'm going to run afoul of somebody's feelings in a professional venue of which we will not mention. There are business decisions that have to be made. There are reasons why I make these decisions. They are made, quite frankly, they're forced upon me by circumstance, if you really want to get right down to it. So I'm trying to put a positive spin on it, and I think I've succeeded until you two guys open your mouths. Now
what about people who want to talk about the bank?
Would you? I just said nobody's going to want to talk about the bank. I'm talking about the bank.
Okay, but you'll see.
Oh, will you bug off? Two masked gunmen kidnapped a bank manager, strapped what they said was a bomb to her midsection, and forced her to order employees to take out all the money from her Bank of America branch when it opened on Wednesday, authorities said. Now, what, Robert?
I got a phone call.
How is it that we're getting phone calls and I'm not giving out the number?
They have called in. They said they really want to talk about this because they have some information on it.
Put them on. Hi, Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, you were talking about...
Get out of here, bud, okay? That's Dickman.
Where is he?
Don't do that again, man.
I just wanted to see if I could get on the air.
Sorry. Are you kidding me, man? You thought you were going to be able to disguise your voice?
You
do that again, man. I'll kick your ass out the second floor window of this place. I mean, I will take you upstairs and then throw you out. You understand?
Well,
never mind. And I'm surprised at you, Robert.
Well, I just...
Yeah, I'm surprised at you. Two masked gunmen kidnapped a bank manager, strapped what they said was a bomb to her midsection, and forced her to order employees to take out all the money from the Bank of America branch when it opened on Wednesday. The bank robbers got away with an undisclosed amount of cash, but no one was injured in the heist. A Los Angeles County Sheriff's bomb squad disabled the device, which investigators said resembled an explosive, but was not. No arrests have been made.
Did they get in trouble for that?
Can they get in trouble for what?
They didn't have it. It wasn't a bomb. Can they get in trouble?
Yes, because it's a terrorist. It was a coercive, terrorist coercive act. Yeah, it's against the law. They robbed the bank, and they did it by coercing through a terrorist intimidation or fear, or just maybe it doesn't even fall under terrorism. Maybe it's just a coercion through invoking some fear. Yeah, they can go to jail for that. They took the money, didn't they?
Yeah, but that wasn't no bomb.
Yeah, they didn't give it. The people gave it to them. You can say that they gave it to them.
No, I can't say that they gave it to them. How do you figure that?
Because there was no bomb.
How did she know that?
She could have, but there wasn't.
She could have what? What could she have done?
Well, she could have said, I don't think it's a bomb. You're going to have to prove, well, I guess if she's going to prove it.
Yeah, you're going to have to prove it to me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so what do they do, explode the bomb?
They could take it off of her and put it in the parking lot and blow it up, but I guess that'd be...
Yeah, I guess that would. You guys come up with some screwy stuff.
I just want to know what the law says.
It's against the law, all right? If I said to you guys, I'm going to kill your, if I said to you, Robert, I'm going to kill your aunt, I'm going to kill her unless you give me money. I've got guys at your house right now that are going to kill your Aunt Mavis unless you give me some money. Forget it's me, okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't believe it was you.
All right, let's just, some guy says it. And they give you the money, or you give them the money, and it turns out there is nobody at your aunt's house. They still put fear into you.
No, but I'd say I got to hear my aunt's voice first.
And what if they said, no, you don't? If you do that, then we'll kill her.
I'd say I still got to hear her voice.
Oh, get out of it. You know what I'm talking about, man.
Not really, man. I don't know. Maybe I come from a tougher part of town or something. You're going to have to prove it to me, man. They'd have to, like, mail her ear or something.
Yeah, that's what they usually do, is, like, mail an ear.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. Hey, Mavis, if you're listening, Robert would have to have your ear mailed to him before he knew it was you, so he would pay off kidnapper. That's great.
Well, I mean, it makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense in light of, you got to walk a mile in a man's shoes before you.
You guys are a couple of morons, you know. Get to her on the phone. I thought we were going to talk to her.
All right, my aunt?
No, your uncle. Yes, your aunt. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show to talk more about this bank robbing in Los Angeles. There's also another interesting story. A Bay Area lawmaker of some sort, arrested in Orange County, California on drug charges. How's about that? Always like to read stories like that. We'll be back here. Not that I like to read them, but if things like that are going to happen, I want to read them. World-famous Phil Hendry show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-87. Oh, I just gave the number out there. So,
say eight.
Ate some shrimp, and it was really good. Welcome back to the program. We have on the line here with us for just a very, very brief moment. I got Mavis Leonard with us. Your nephew, how are you this evening, dear?
Yeah, I'm on Phil Hendry show, right?
Yeah, this is Phil, Mavis.
Yeah, I'm on the Phil Hendry show.
Yes, dear, this is Phil Hendry right here.
Hey, honey, it's Phil. It's Robert here.
Yes, Robert, I'm waiting for Phil.
Yeah, that's him.
It's me.
All right, Phil. They said you want to talk, and I was watching a little bit of a program here. I watched Bill Clinton, you know.
Yeah, you've been watching the convention?
Yeah, I have watched the convention, and I'd love to see, Bill Clinton. I voted for John McCain, but I think Barack Obama... You know, I'll probably vote for him again, you know, because I don't like this other man they have.
You voted for John McCain, and you didn't like Barack Obama.
I didn't like him at all. I thought Barack Obama was going to be too liberal, you know.
Hey, honey, we're called up on account of if you was kidnapped, and they had to, and I told them to prove, they'd send an ear?
Yeah, I don't understand that. He is the son of my sister, and he talks more and more gibberish with each passing day, you know.
No, wait, let me say it. He said what we were talking about here.
I'm talking about you kidnapped.
He talks with each passing day, with each new rising sun, more and more just jive at.
No, honey, listen, you got to listen to me, okay?
What do you want now?
I said, if you got kidnapped, I would have to see an ear or something to know that they really kidnapped you.
I don't understand.
If you were kidnapped, Mavis, just this is a hypothetical. If you were kidnapped, Robert said that before he paid any ransom, he'd have to see an ear or one of your fingers or something like that.
Why would I mail you my ear? Are you out of your mind?
No, I didn't say mail my ear. I didn't say you mail my ear.
I'd not mail your ear or mine. Why would I mail your ear? You are an idiot. And I'm so thankful your sister, my sister, your your sister.
No, my mother. I'm not saying that I melt my ear. And you don't have to melt me your ear.
I'm grateful that my sister is not alive to see you in any way, shape, or form. And I'm glad that your sister doesn't even exist. Otherwise, she'd.
Mavis, do you understand what we're saying? We're saying...
I don't understand anything you two jackasses are talking about at all. I've been sitting there watching Bill Clinton, and I heard that Chris Matthews already got me upset. And now...
We were talking about kidnapping.
I don't care. Okay, you're talking about kidnapping. What are you talking to me about that for?
Because we were saying, if you were kidnapped, and Robert wanted the kidnappers to prove that you were kidnapped...
I'm supposed to mail my ear to that dumbass, is that what you said?
No, I didn't say you mail an ear. Why'd you mail an ear?
No, Miss Leonard, this is Bud Dickman.
You even dumber than the other two. What are you going
to... Well, no, he'd say that if you got kidnapped and they were going to have an ear.
If I got kidnapped and they fed me an ear, is what you're saying.
You don't understand what we're saying.
No, I understand what you're saying. You're saying, what do I think about the fact that Robert would demand an ear, but I was simply using your words against you because the three of you sound like you are Gloyd convinced, you know?
And a Gloyd convention?
Yeah, you sound like, you know, in the Bible it says wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am, right? I think the three of you gather in the name of Gloyd Almighty, you know?
Gloyd Almighty?
All right, Mavis.
No, don't all right, Mavis, me. You busted up my night... I'm watching David Korn. I've got Chris Matthews coming in one ear in Brooklyn. And you call me up and try to lay this on me? I'm not letting you off the hook.
All right, well, so we said stuff that was jacked up. You're right.
Yeah, you better believe it's jacked up.
All right, but you understand what we're saying.
Yeah, you want to ask me what I think about Robert demanding an ear. I think about that the same way I think about 90% of everything that dumbass did. He's a dumbass. He always was a dumbass. He reminded me a lot of his father in the dumbass area. His sister, like I said, my sister, his mother, I'm glad she's not alive to walk in on what he is. Because if she walked in on him, his ass be laying on a couch looking at Animal Planet.
I ain't looked at Animal Planet in a long time.
Well, what's that show you watch now that you're looking at women and men cut each other up and up?
That Investigation Discovery.
Investigation. I'm going to let you go. Okay.
Hold on. Here's Obama and Clinton hugging on the stage. I think that's so phony baloney. Look at that. That's a phony baloney look.
Why is that phony?
Well, that one, there's a white man, the other, you got right there, you got three quarters of two white men. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Three quarters of two.
That's what I'm talking about. You got three quarters of two white men. So that's about as integrated, you know, as that's almost that like integrated like a coup, like a coon, cuckoo clan, or how they call it.
All right, Mavis, thank you very much.
You're blowing me off, right?
No, I'm not blowing you off. I'm let you go. Get back to watching your show. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
What do you want me to tell you?
Well, I mean...
What do you want me to tell you? It's late at night. She's watching her TV. We call her up.
You're the one who won't call her up.
Yeah, because you're sitting here talking about you. I'd have to see an ear. And you know what? She said what I figured she would say. You're a dumbass, and the stuff you talk about is dumbass, and the fact that, you know, you're as dumb as your father. And
yeah, it's dumb. My dad was dumb, yeah, but he wasn't so dumb that he'd ask her to mail her own ear, you know.
But you are. So,
yeah.
I don't think I said that.
Doesn't matter whether you said it or not, man. She's got me believing you did. All right. So anyway, make a long story short, then the cops got... did they catch the bank robbers? The two men who were armed with handguns and wore ski masks took off in a two-door car, possibly a Kia, and they remain at large. Okay, so there you go. Parker said Parker is a police spokesman. Captain Mike Parker of the L.A. County Sheriff said the woman remained inside the bank until the bomb squad arrived, removed the device from her body. The bomb squad later disabled the item with a robot. Nearby businesses were evacuated for a few hours as a precaution. Well, that's jacked up, huh? And you know what? I always hear them talking about banks that are near freeways, And to work at a bank near a freeway is asking for it because that's an escape route, you know?
Yeah, I heard them talking about that. You say your bank is there?
Yeah, that's where your bank is, right?
My bank is near a freeway. It is. And I remember I was sitting in my bank not too long, about 2-3 weeks ago. I bank at B of A. And the bank branch that I do business with is right at, I'd say it's not right at, it is, there's a light, two lights before you get to the freeway on-ramp, but it's not, it's not a long way. It's just maybe about 150, 200 yards, you know?
Yeah, but see, that's why, I think it's because of them lights.
Well, a bank robber isn't going to be caring whether they're red lights or not.
Yeah, I know, but still, man, you still got to go through traffic and everything.
Nah, that's bull crap. I mean, it's not bull crap, but I don't think it matters. I think the fact that a bank is close to a freeway on ramp is a legitimate area of concern for people. At least that's what the police have told us. And a light isn't going to matter to those guys.
No, he's talking about if there's traffic.
There could be traffic. There could be a lot of traffic, but it's not going to matter that much to a couple of guys that are robbing a bank. It's just that's all there is to it. However, I will tell you this much. The North Hollywood bank robbery, that was nowhere near a freeway. And those guys, you know, obviously, they did something wrong. I forget how those guys blew that. But that North Hollywood bank robbery, I'll never forget that because I was coming from my chiropractor out in Santa Monica. And I was on my way up the 405 freeway. And all I saw were cop cars screaming ass past me on their way to this thing that was going on in North Hollywood. And I'm telling you, man, it was way up in North Hollywood. So I don't know what those guys were thinking.
They're never going to get away with it, that's for sure.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with other news items to come, including the Democratic stumble on a party platform bit of language and more on Bill Clinton's speech and all the other people that are just wowing them and knocking them dead and all that jazz at the Democratic convention. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're online at philhendryshow.com where we have live streaming video of our show from the El Pacifico every night. We do our radio show from our El Pacifico studios here along the California coast, and we have a video cast which behind me shows you the beautiful Pacific as it slams into the rock jetty and otherwise roils and boils there beyond the beach.
Yeah, it's a video.
Will you shut up, man?
No, don't tell anybody that.
Anyway, good for you to join us. And again, we have the Bobby Dooley downloads. We're going to have Bobby on in a few minutes here to talk about the new downloads that are in our shop at philhenryshow.com. If you go to shop there on our menu, you'll be able to find those download package. It's called the Ever So Best of Bobby Dooley. And it was voted on and was selected by our Backstage Pass members. It's a real, real cool collection of great Bobby Dooley stuff. All right. The second night of the Democratic National Convention. This is very interesting. You know, a lot of people think that the Democratic Party, I think if you are on the, by the way, I heard a real slam tonight from somebody. I forget who it was. It was a guy said, if you're an independent voter, that means you're a thinker. You know?
Yeah, I heard that. In other words, you belong Democrat or Republican, you're a dumbass.
They didn't say dumbass.
They didn't say dumbass. They said if you're a Republican or a Democrat, you're not as likely to think about stuff, is what they were saying, though.
You don't call that dumbass?
No, I wouldn't put that under the heading of dumbass. I would call it lazy. But what the guy was saying was essentially this, that Clinton's speech was good because it appealed to independent people because they are the ones that like to think about things. Independent voters like to think. And the inference being that the Republicans and Democratic voters don't think. In any event, I don't know if you're a conservative or a Republican, how much real attention you pay to the Democratic Party, how much real attention you pay to what that party, the kinds of people that are in that party now. And it is a decidedly, I think, a more conservative group than it used to be. But I think that Republicans, and especially conservatives, don't really get that. Because they,
well, no, what are you talking about? Because they're into health care, national health care. They are really liberal.
Well, you know, not really. That's not a really liberal concept. It is for America. Yes, you're right. So when we talk about liberal and we talk about conservative, I think we have to limit that to the borders of the country, the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, and the northern border to Canada, the southern border to Mexico, because it just ain't the facts that when the world looks at liberals and conservatives, they don't see anything all that shocking. You know, I mean, they see the Yanks just being the Yanks, you know.
What's that mean, Yank? Is that a slam?
Yeah, it means yanking it and everything, don't it?
No, it don't. What do you mean, yanking it?
Well, what's it mean?
Yankee! Yankees. That's what, you know, a Yankee. American is a Yankee. A Yankee is an American. That's why the New York Yankees are called the Yankees, because in the early days of baseball, teams didn't necessarily have nicknames. They were just simply known by the league they were in. So New York already had a team in the National League. They were the New York Nationals, and sometimes they were called the New York Gothams. And eventually they became the Giants because somebody said that that's what one of the players called the other players one day after they won a big game. He says, you guys are a bunch of Giants out there. Now, the New York Americans came to New York from Baltimore.
Yeah, you're getting sidetracked on this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Anyway, so the Yanks. I'll tell that story later on. All right. So they just think we're a bunch of Yanks. And if you got a bunch of Americans talking about health care like it's a socialist revolution, like it's a commie thing, like it's the scariest thing that's ever come down the pike since, Stalin and Mao going down the long trail, the rest of the world thinks, what are you talking about, man? We've had it. So it's not that liberal an idea internationally. In America, it is crazy liberal. It's crazy liberal. But it would be interesting for you guys to note, those of you who are conservative Republican, on the second night, tonight of the Democratic National Convention, it began in confusion and dissent over a last-minute effort to reinsert language in the party's platform, listen to this, invoking God and affirming Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It was an embarrassing episode that marred what otherwise has been a very high-flying gathering. The maneuver triggered booing by delegates in Time Warner Cable Arena and raised questions about how President Obama's campaign overlooked the omissions in the drafting process, a failure that handed the Republicans fresh fodder to levy attacks about the administration's values. Last-minute effort to reinsert language. And now, as both GOP presidential challenger Mitt Romney and his running mate Paul Ryan piled on, Obama himself intervened to clean up the mess, directing top political aides to get the language reinserted. Now, what's this about? 4 years ago, the party document called for a government that, quote, gives everyone willing to work hard the chance to make the most of their God-given potential. The platform also said Jerusalem is and will remain the capital of Israel and should remain an undivided city accessible to people of all faiths. It does not appear that any leaders noticed the omissions this year or realized the trouble they could cause. On Wednesday, Romney told Fox News that the absence of the word God in the Democratic platform showed that the party is veering further and further away into an extreme wing that Americans don't recognize. Obama was also taken aback by the omission. According to a Democratic official, he said the president asked, "Why is it changed in the first place?" Aha! Democrats noted that the document used the word faith 11 times. Some party activists said there was an effort to use the most inclusive language possible when referring to religion, especially in the aftermath of the shooting this summer at a Sikh temple. The platform's silence on Jerusalem was puzzling. The city is a key sticking point in Israeli-Palestinian relations. Though Jerusalem is the country's capital under Israeli law, it is also where Palestinians want to locate the capital of an independent state. The matter is to be resolved in final peace negotiations between the Israelis and Palestinians whenever. Because of this controversy, the United States has maintained its embassy in Tel Aviv, despite a 1995 law passed by Congress that called for it to be moved to Jerusalem. Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama blocked its implementation, calling the law an infringement on the executive branch's authority. Congress ordering the U.S. Embassy in Israel to be anywhere is not the right necessarily of Congress. That is an executive branch decision. I'm sure there are ways that the Congress of the United States can get around that stuff. I don't know. But anyway, several experts on the Middle East participated in the platform drafting, including a former Florida Representative Robert Wexler and Colin Call, an associate Georgetown University professor and former Pentagon policy advisor. People familiar with the drafting process said the committee focused on highlighting Obama's accomplishments and did not make an overt decision to remove the Jerusalem reference. It wasn't like it came out. That wasn't the case. The whole thing was redrafted. Wexler said the administration wanted the platform to be a list of achievements that the president is rightfully proud of. Matters that are considered final status items for the Israelis and Palestinians to negotiate were not included in the platform, in large part because there were no negotiations now. The absence of the reference to Jerusalem, though, was not raised by any advocacy groups in public hearings, according to people familiar. One Democratic strategist involved with Jewish issues said that none of the groups, including the influential American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, compared the 2012 platform side by side. It looks like it was some kind of an oversight.
Well, so what's that mean?
Yeah.
Well, it means, here's what it means, that they want to make sure that this language is there, that they want to make sure that these particular articulations of the Democratic Party's policy are in that platform because these are mainstream American ideas. These are mainstream. These are American. These are things that are important to the American people, particularly the Jewish people of this country. And not only is it not something that detracts from the Democrats' message, it enhances it, especially among those voters, maybe independents, who want to vote for a ticket, vote for a party, that seems to speak the American language. And having Jerusalem be the capital of Israel, America's always been very strongly in support of Israel, and I'm one voter who appreciates that because I am.
Why?
I just am. Israel to me is a democracy. It was born of a horror called the Holocaust. The Jewish people are a people who have been chased out of every country they've ever been in for thousands and thousands of years. The culminating in what happened in the Second World War. And I'm sorry, but Jews have been in the Middle East for centuries. And, you know, quite frankly, the British, who had the Palestinian mandate, who said that, yes, there should be a Jewish state, who supported this in something called the Balfour Declaration that the United Nations tried to adhere to, that was, you know, that was not implemented fully or successfully in the Middle East. And since then, we've had a state of war between the Arabs and Israelis. I don't know, you know, to me, it's really something that's more important than a lot of local considerations. It's a historic thing, you know?
Yeah, but I still, man, you put people down right in the middle where somebody else lives.
Yeah, but Phil said that they put people down in the middle of, they live there too.
Nah, not in Israel, though.
Look, Robert, you got a good point, okay? You're right, plopping people down. But the fact of the matter is, to call them fascists and Gestapo and all this crap that's been laid on the Jewish state, if anything, the Israelis have been the recipients of more and more and more of that kind of brutal behavior. The terrorists, to me, are nothing more than, you know, badly financed Nazis going and just killing people because they're Jews. And, all right, so I don't want to get too heavy. And then the God thing, same thing, man. It is not necessarily in the best interest of the Democratic Party to be, hey, man, you know, we respect it all, baby. And even atheists, you know, so we don't want to, you know, bum anybody out with this, God stuff. You know, no. It's a very traditional point of view. And you could see President Obama was upset that it wasn't there. So that's what's going on there, you know.
So they're getting more Republican.
No, they're not getting more Republican, but they are backing away from what some people might have thought were traditionally Democratic Party attitudes, which is, you know, freedom of religion means freedom of atheists, too. And who cares about Israel, man? We care about the Palestinians and blah, 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 blah. All right, we'll be right back. Former Bay Area politician arrested in Orange on drug charges. What's this all about? Who is she? Why is she? And where are the drugs? And like that, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back, folks. And as part of our continuing Democratic National Convention coverage with you in mind, we've got Jeff Dowder in Charlotte, North Carolina tonight to give us a little more of a look inside the Democratic National Convention. He has been on the floor of the convention there throughout the evening, and I understand you were with the Hawaii delegates, Jeff?
That's correct, Bill, and as a matter of fact, they're showing a replay of the Hawaii delegates voting right now on TV, and they were dressed in a very festive Hawaiian shirts and casted their votes for the next president of what they say was the next president of the United States, Barack Obama. And they had a lot of very traditional Hawaiian clothing on, and they, if you've seen the Hawaiians, they look almost Japanese, but not quite. I probably am telling you stuff you already know.
Yeah, I know that. You mean Polynesian people?
Yes, sir, yeah. And so the reason why I mention that, Phil, is because that shows you the inclusiveness of the Democratic Party that they're trying to talk about. But so I was down there with the Hawaiian delegation and talked to this gentleman by the name of Junior Kanea, who played football at the University of Hawaii and had a tryout with the NFL too, but now is involved in just party politics of Hawaii. And here's part of that conversation.
David,
did you vote for Obama in like the election?
Yeah, I voted for Barack Obama in the election of 2008, and I voted for Al Gore in the election of 2000.
What about 2004?
What about it?
Well, that
I don't think I was aware of there was an election there too.
Yeah, they had an election in 2004. So that's a conversation I had.
Who was that guy?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Who was the guy you just talked to?
A guy by the name of Junior Kanea. He's he's from one of the outlying islands. I'm not sure which one, but it's the one. He's from that island where the Navy does a lot of shelling. And I'm not trying to make a joke or anything, but I asked him.
Yeah, because that guy didn't know there was an election in 2004.
Yeah, see, I asked him, who'd you vote for? He goes, he voted for President Obama, and he voted for President Gore, Vice President Gore, whatever he was, I don't recall.
Vice President.
Yeah. And then I said to him, who did you vote for in 2004? What did I say?
You asked him who he voted for in 2004, and he said he wasn't aware there'd been an election?
Yeah, that's it. And that's what I asked him. I said, where are you from? And he said the name of that island, it's a big long name. It goes Kulubo Tutulu Bululu or something. And I go, ain't that where the Navy has been regularly shelling and using it for target practice for a number of years? And he said, you know, bingo, give the man a cigar. And I go, that may be what's going on here. I mean, and so I put it down to the shelling.
Well, they don't have anybody living on that island, man.
What?
They don't have anybody living on that island. I know the island you're talking about. It's like across from Maui or something.
Well, yeah, well, whatever. But, I mean, don't you think constant shelling, you know, like...
You think the guy's got shell shock?
Yeah, you know.
No, I don't think there's anybody living on that island right now. He might have been born there. Maybe he was... I don't think there are any structures there. I mean, it's an island that you're right, Jeff. They use it... The Navy has used it for target practice. I think there's a couple of field phones. I think there are a couple of bunkers.
Well, I don't know, man. He might have been born in a bunker or something. You know, I don't know.
Well, how do you know he's from that island?
Because he said he was.
I wonder if at one time they had...
There might have been residences there. But, I mean, that's getting off the point. You know, he was a very well-spoken man, and he wants to do better as a delegate. And I told him, and I asked him, do you feel you messed up by not remembering there was an election in 2004? He goes, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I go, yeah. And so he goes, yeah, but I'm trying to work my way back in, and I won't, you know, and I hope I don't mess up again, you know. And so that's what he said. From the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte.
Hold on, Jeff. Okay.
What?
Hold on for a minute, man. I'm not done with you yet. So, you were with the Hawaii delegation. You made a note of saying that they were wearing their Hawaiian garb.
Yeah, the reason why I brought that up is because of all of the states that will be at the convention of this one, or even the Republicans, the only state that seems to dress up and have, you know, a good time in a costume is the Hawaiians, or the people of Hawaii. You never ever see, like Nebraska do a costume. You never see, but the Hawaiians always do.
Well, that's a very good point. It begs the question, which is, what would Hawaiians have a very distinctive? I think we all have this idea that Hawaii and the people of Hawaii have a distinctive way of dressing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we think they walk around all day long with a thing of flowers around their neck, and they're like going to their job at the bank in some loud shirt with flowers in their hair. And I had a friend of mine that worked in Hawaii for a while. Well, I mean, he didn't work in a bank, but he did worked in Hawaii. He worked as a lifeguard, and then he also worked on a pineapple ranch. A pineapple ranch or a pineapple garden where they pick pineapples. I had a friend of mine did some winter work over there. And anyway, he told me, man, that he'd been down to banks and he'd gone into banks. He even went into he went into a hardware store and the guy had on an apron, and the bank, they had suits. So I don't know what the story is with the Hawaiian shirts and everything, but I do believe, Mr. Henry, I think it's a good way to point out this. How come they're the only ones that get into makeup and costume and nobody else?
Well, let's not call it makeup and costume. I think that the Hawaiian people are just want to keep projecting that image.
Yeah, but I mean, why not get dressed why don't they wear a corn? I was looking into Nebraska. It's a corn state, or the
Corn Huskers.
Corn Husker state. I mean, okay, it's not that sexy, but why wouldn't they be in farmer gear or a corn guy that is, anybody that's into corn? Well, I guess that kind of makes the corn cop thing come up, so that's probably not a good idea.
Well, it's a question we'll have to investigate.
What?
It's a question we'll have to investigate and answer.
I'm sorry, Phil, I can't hear you. I'll just... Jeff Dowd reporting here for Phil...
Jesus.
What?
What do you mean, what? He can't hear me. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Jeff, for that report on Junior Kanea, who was born on the island that the Navy shells, and he doesn't remember there was an election in 2004.
Phil Henry.
Great.
Yeah, but that's because they were shelling him.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show. Know what to talk about. Okay? I just thought I'd spit it all out at once,
That was like hypersonic.
Yeah, faster than the speed of sound.
Faster than the speed of sound and faster than the speed of light, because if you were in the room watching me say that, my lips would have been going so fast that you would not see the light from my lips until well after. There's something about that that's time travel. I can't explain it.
I know how to give you go from one place.
Let's not talk about it now, bud, okay? You get into this thing.
Now, y'all are talking about being able to go back in time.
You can. I swear you can.
All right. Bud says that if he were able to go from where he is sitting right now over to where I'm sitting faster then it takes the light from his body to get here, you would be going back in time, right?
Yeah, because I'd be seeing myself the way that it was.
All right, I know there's an argument against that. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, see, that's not an argument, though.
Yeah, but there's got to be an argument against it, because that sounds weird.
I don't care if it's weird. I think you'd be able to do it if you could do it.
Well, why don't you start making that machine, man? It's going to take you really fast to where I am so you can look at yourself for 3 seconds. I don't know.
I'm telling you, you'd disappear. You'd cease to exist because you wouldn't be you anymore.
What?
You wouldn't be you, man.
What do you mean he wouldn't be him?
Because if he's going so fast that what he is taking time to get over to where he is now, he wouldn't exist.
It's not what he is. It's the light from his body. that is taking, what do you, there's no...
what are you talking about, man? This ain't some voodoo, okay? See, you're...
Hey, watch the voodoo stuff, man.
Hey. He's right. Watch the voodoo stuff.
I don't mean that about black people. I just mean it's...
Look, bud, I'm not prepared to talk about this right now. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you and good night. Anyway, welcome to our program, folks, and we're available online at philhenryshow.com. By the way, the Milwaukee Lions podcasts are available. If you are a football fan, you ain't heard nothing like Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison doing the Milwaukee Lion broadcasts on Wang Radio out of Milwaukee Lacrosse. Another season of the Milwaukee Lions as they take on their opponents week in and week out on the road and at home. And Jack and Brett are generally there getting involved in not only the play-by-play, but contending with a spotter who is the son of the part-time owner, the owner herself who doesn't know anything about football, a variety of ex-players that barely speak the English language, and a number of sponsors that would probably not be allowed to advertise in a porno magazine, let alone on a football broadcast. It's all there on the Milwaukee Lion podcast. They're available on our website exclusively at philhenryshow.com. And a new game, this being the football season, a new game produced each week. And I think there's been one regular season game already, and there's two preseason games in there. Another game coming up on Monday. Who are they playing on Monday?
Playing the D.C. Federal Brigade.
The D.C. Federal Brigade. The Lions are playing at home, and then they go on the road against the Tampa Gator Bait. So that's happening.
That's the name of the Tampa team, the Gator Bait?
Yeah.
Why is that called that?
I don't know. That's just the name of the Tampa team.
Makes them sound like they're Gator Bait.
No kidding. That's exactly what they sound like.
Yeah. Why do you want to be Gator Bait?
I don't know. It's the whole world that the Milwaukee Lions live in. It's a weird-ass world. What do you want me to tell you? They're the Tampa Gator Bait. And the Miami team, we'll get a load of this. The fans didn't like the name Psychotropics, so they voted that down, and now they're called the Raging Palm Tree.
Yeah, it's like a palm tree is going to go, I don't get it.
Well, maybe it makes sense if you consider a palm tree in a hurricane. Now, do you think it's all that benign? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to think of why I would call a team that. Anyway, it's the Milwaukee Lions on our website, philhenryshow.com. Check them out as you are perusing what your backstage pass will get you access to. And I'm telling you, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of material. All right. I don't know whether or not you know this, but a former Bay Area politician, I'd mentioned this, a former Bay Area politician was arrested in Orange County, California on drug charges. Nadia Lockyer, a former Alameda County supervisor and the estranged wife of State Treasurer Bill Lockyer, was arrested after a phone-in tip. This former Bay Area politician, the estranged wife of the state treasurer, who has struggled publicly with substance abuse problems that led her to resign earlier this year, faces criminal charges in an Orange County court after being arrested on drug charges, or faces criminal charges in Orange County. Nadia Lockyer, an Alameda County supervisor until April, was arrested by police in Orange on August 28th after law enforcement received a tip that she was in possession of drugs, said Farah Amami, a spokeswoman for the Orange County District Attorney's Office.
Yeah, she sounds like she's Muslim.
Yeah, I wonder, do you think she's got to wear a headscarf?
Maybe.
You know, hold on for a minute. What are you guys talking about?
That lady.
The who? What lady?
That Farah.
Farah Imami is a spokeswoman for the Orange County District Attorney. Get out of here, will you? I'm reading about the other thing.
I just wonder if she wears a headdress.
Yeah.
If she wears a headdress, you mean the Muslim scarf?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, so the identity of the tipster has not been revealed. Yeah, I'll bet it hasn't. I mean, why would they identify the tipster? Okay?
Yeah, if they do that, then Nadia Lockyer would go and shoot her.
Yeah. No, that's not why. It would discourage other tipsters. It would discourage other people from phoning in tips if you're identifying sources. It's the same philosophy that newspaper reporters use. They don't identify their sources, because if they did, then other people that might talk to the press would cease talking to the press, and there would be no anonymous source. Lockyer, 41, was living with her 9-year-old son at a relative's home in Orange. When police went to the home, police found her with methamphetamine and saw objective signs that she was under the influence of the drug. Police said they also found drug paraphernalia, including an opium pipe and tubular aluminum foil with a burned end, according to the criminal complaint. Lockyer faces charges of drug possession, being under the influence, and child abuse. Lockyer is a native of Orange County, former Santa Ana Board of Education trustee who was elected in 1998. Lockyer resigned her position in Alameda County amid a months-long drug and sex scandal in February. She said she had been assaulted by a former boyfriend in a motel room and admitted that she'd been undergoing rehabilitation for drug and alcohol use. Bill Lockyer filed for divorce in July, citing irreconcilable differences. Shortly after the papers were filed, Nadia Lockyer was involved in a car accident near the couple's home, knocking down a light pole and hitting a tree. Hayward police determined the cause of the accident was inattention to driving because of cell phone use. Police said there was no indication of drugs or alcohol being involved. By the way, I might as well cop to something here, and this is, is he calling in for that?
I don't know, hey, Mr. Hall, is you calling in for that? Don't what Phil Henry would say?
You put him on the phone, will you?
Yeah.
Hey, David?
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to get around to it, you know? I'm on my way home right now, but if you don't mind, are you going to get around to it?
Yes, I'm going to get around to it. You know, I read the story. I'm going to get around to it.
Well, I don't think you were planning on getting around to it until you saw my call come in.
Big deal. It's not that big of a revelation.
Well, you're talking about this woman that was arrested on drug charges, and you're talking about, some of the other things that people, you know, that happens to people, and I'm just wondering, given the fact that you have been talking in a very high, let's put it this way, Phil, you've been talking in a very high moral tone lately, and I think that people would like to know that you're not exactly the most, you're not exactly the most squeaky clean guy in the world, and that there are other things that people might want to know about you, that's all. And, I hate to come off sounding that way.
All right, you done with your speech?
No, I'm not done with my speech. What have you got to say about that?
I think that what you're talking about leads people to believe that I've been arrested for drugs, that I've been arrested for some kind of morals thing, that I've been arrested for all kinds of stuff, and none of that stuff has happened at all. Okay? None of it. So I would like to now say to my audience...
Whoa, hold on for a minute, because I'm going to get parked. Can I call you back in just a minute?
What do you want me to do, man? Put the show on hold for you?
If you don't mind, I want to hear.
Yeah, okay.
What's he doing?
He's getting parked. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, I'll tell you guys what happened to me. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with drug charges or anything like that. And we'll join David Hall on the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is a bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Okay, so that makes me gay.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, and online with us here is David G. Hall, who's our Vice President of Syndication. I was reading about Nadia Lockyer, who is a Bay Area, former Bay Area, San Francisco, as I say when we say Bay Area, politician who was arrested on drug charges on August the 28th. David, are you there?
Yeah, you're Phil, I'm sorry. Okay, good. I just got the tub full. I got to get into a tub. I want to hear this, because this is good. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, all I'm going to say is what happened to me on the freeway. I was on my way to, Upright Citizens Brigade one night. I was going into Hollywood, and I made the mistake of, and it was a stupid thing to do, folks, but I wanted to send a friend of mine out of state a picture of the freeway, traffic, and so on and so forth. So I...
Sorry, Phil, hold on. Ah, yeah. Yeah. Woo! Boy, that feels good. Go ahead.
So I wanted to send a friend of mine a picture of the L.A. freeway, and I raised the phone up into camera mode. You know, I had it in camera mode.
Yeah, so here is you on the freeway, and I want people to get the message here. You're on a California freeway... and you are, you got your picture, you got your camera, and you are, see, to me, that's just, you know, that's not safe.
You know, I can't even hear you.
I said that that's not safe.
Yes, that's right. So I was going to take a, let me finish the story.
All right.
So I was on the freeway, and I took a picture of the freeway traffic, and my hand was up, holding the camera up as I was driving, and sure enough, I looked to my right, and I see the...
I got to put the phone down.
Are you kidding me or something?
What?
Why don't you listen to the radio, David?
Because it's 7 seconds behind. It's a delay. Hold on. I got it. Go ahead.
Okay, so when I looked to my right, there was a California Highway Patrol officer, and he had this look on his face like, wow, you know, I, you know, he, one of those looks like, well, look at this guy, what's he doing? And as soon as he, as I saw him, I remember saying, you know what, I'm dead. I just went ahead and I pulled it onto the center divider.
And you got a ticket for what?
For using a mobile device in the car, you know, while I was driving. It's not anything that goes on your driving record.
Are you that?
Yes, I'm sure. What's your whole point of this, man?
I wondered if you were going to talk about it, that's all. There's nothing bigger than that, Phil. I just wondered if you were going to talk about it, if you were going to be on... I'm going to just flip on the TV. I wondered if you were going to talk about that, or if you were just going to let that go, you know? Because I thought, for me... Hold on for a minute, I'm just...
What do you keep asking me to hold on for a minute for?
I'm making something to eat, do you mind? Did you hear that Rob Delaney is on Conan O'Brien tonight?
I think he is, yeah.
Okay, what channel is that on?
Hey, David, I'm going to hang up now, okay?
No, I'm sorry. So in any event, you were given a ticket for using this mobile device. And so before you start talking about other people's problems with the law, I think you need to be talking to the audience about your problems. That's popcorn. It's supposed to pop, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, okay, David, I'll do that in the future, but I did not even think that holding a mobile device while I'm driving was even close to being arrested for methamphetamines and child abuse.
Well, I think that in your world, Phil, maybe it isn't. And maybe in my world it isn't. But there are relative values that people have, and before you start thinking that you're better than somebody, I think you ought to walk a mile in their shoes. And there are people who believe that what you did, holding a mobile device on a crowded freeway, they're peas in the butter sauce. Yeah, isn't that what you like? I'm talking to my girlfriend, because she likes those peas in the butter sauce. Hey, Phil?
Yes?
Excuse me, but I'm having some dinner.
All right. Do you mind if you have your dinner and then call my show? You've so far been on the car, been in the car, you've been taking a bath. You're now microwaving peas and popcorn.
I've been on the car. I was in my car. Wow. How's that? Okay, let me thaw it out a little bit more. So I think what you need to do is you need to take into consideration that there are a number of people out there that would consider you running afoul. You know something? I don't... Make your own dinner. I got to watch this. So what time's Delaney on Conan? Because...
You know, that's it.
We call back.
If he calls back, tell him to drop dead from me. Is that him?
Yeah. Mr. Hall? He said it dropped dead. Yeah. Okay. Bye. You too.
What did he say?
Have a nice night.
You just told him to drop dead and he said have a nice night.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there I was. There I was on the freeway, and I got the ticket from the cop. Bingo, bango, bongo, nothing else to tell you about, and that's the way the cookie crumbles. And it's not any violation that goes on your driving record. I paid the fine by way of the mail, and it was a stupid thing to do. You know, and I'm not even gonna say what is a temptation for a lot of people to say at a moment like this, which is, I'm sure we've all done it. No, I'm not gonna include anybody into this other than me. Other than me, you know. I did it. It was my violation of the law. I have since paid the ticket, and I will never do that again. I held the camera up to try to take a picture, you know.
But I think, you know, man, a lot of you shouldn't be reluctant to tell and say that people do that stuff, though.
Well, no, but that's not what I want to do.
No, but everybody, you know, if you let everyone think you're the only one that does it, and everybody think they're off the hook.
Yeah, you gotta, you know, people do that.
No, I feel uncomfortable talking about how other people do. I want to take responsibility. I don't want to shift any blame or make it appear as if what I did is very common. I think that if the law is the law, I'm a very old-fashioned guy. The law is the law, you know?
Yeah, but people break law all the time, man. You're not alone.
Well, have you guys ever done this?
No.
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, then obviously there's some people out there that that haven't done it. I mean, do you know people that have done it?
Not really.
I don't know anybody that's done it, but somebody must have.
You don't know anybody that's taken a picture from a car while they're driving?
No.
Both you guys have mobile phones.
Yeah.
Now I think you're lying to me, see? Now I think...
Well, you just said you want to be alone.
I know, but once you guys started telling me that I'm not alone and that everybody does it, I want to find out who does it. Now you're telling me nobody does it.
Man, you need a vacation.
Yeah, that's right. That's what everybody tells me. I need a vacation. Bill Clinton endorsed Barack Obama for a second term with a speech at the Democratic convention that just kicked everybody's ass. In an old-fashioned barnstorming speech to the Democratic National Convention, much of it ad-libbed. Ad-libbed? You're kidding.
No.
And considerably longer than the prepared text, Clinton boiled the differences between Obama and his Republican opponent Mitt Romney to a simple essential point. Of course, Clint Eastwood ad-lib, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody thought Clint Eastwood nuts. Everybody think Bill Clinton is on, you know.
Yeah, they think Bill Clinton's a genius. They thought Clint Eastwood is a drooler.
Clint Eastwood's a drooler. I got to tell you something. I want to say this right now. Clint Eastwood, a guy who has been in Hollywood since the 50s, a guy that worked his way up from an actor in the Francis the Talking Mule movies, to having a co-starring role in a TV series that was a hit series, Rawhide. He you know, it was a fortuitous, if you will, moment in his career. Going to Europe and doing these movies for Sergio Leone and not even knowing if they were going to be successful. He had no idea what these movies would do. All he knew, it was a paycheck. It was a chance to do movies. It was a chance to work with Sergio Leone. It was a chance to work in Europe. And he said that he got back to the States and he looked at whatever it was, Variety magazine, and he looked at the money that those movies were making. Suddenly he realized he was in a series of films that were very popular. And then the breakout of Dirty Harry, breakout hit movie, did a bunch of sequels, started directing as well, a series of unusual and, you know, quirky, but nonetheless distinctive westerns that all featured him. Then he got an Academy Award for Best Picture, Best Director with Unforgiven, has gone on to become, and people are talking about this guy like he's some senile old bastard. I'm not talking about fans or just regular people. I'm talking about people in Hollywood having the balls. I mean, I've been reading some of these two-faced bastards on Twitter talking about how what a drooler Clint Eastwood is on the one hand, and they're posting pictures of themselves with him on the other. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I know who you're talking about.
Shut up.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So anyway, President Clinton rocked them and rolled them, baby, at the Democratic National Convention on Wednesday night. It was a great speech. I didn't watch it, not because I had any problem with watching President Clinton. It's just that my schedule is kind of weird. When we sit down in the studio, when I came down to the studio, it was, oh, wow, President Clinton is coming on. And meanwhile, I'm into show prep, and it just didn't work out. But how much of a speech do you gotta listen to? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's always the same stuff.
I mean, it was really good that, again, if I was a Democrat or if I was a Republican, whatever, you know, I would say, oh, wow, that's really cool. He really rocked them and socked them and kicked their ass. There ain't a whole hell of a lot, man, that Clinton said, which is no knock on President Clinton. It's just, I'm sorry, you know, it didn't come as any surprise. You know, Obama may be a lot of things, but one of the things that's the biggest shock for me is that he's got a lot more to say for himself than Romney has to say for what he wants to do, or the Republicans have got to say for what they're going to do. And one of the things they said here, you know...
Wait, what are you talking about? Romney's going to do a good job.
No, he's not, man. I've told you.
Well, what do you guys want to have another debate here tonight? We can go around two if you want.
Yeah, because I think, you know...
Well, I don't know if I want to debate.
Go ahead. Just, you know, have the... This is round two of Bud and Robert.
You go.
No, you go.
All right. Okay, Mitt Romney is going to be a better president than Obama was because he's going to cut taxes and the little guy will be better.
Oh, man, what are you talking about, the little guy? What do you mean the little guy?
I mean, the guys like the middle class, they're going to be better because he's going to cut taxes and everything.
Yeah, you know something, man? You can cut taxes all you want. And then you got like a federal deficit and all this. And then what's going to happen?
Yeah, well, then if you cut taxes, then people will be spending more. And then there's going to be more taxes.
What? Man, that don't make any sense.
Yeah, it does. It's better to have those kind of taxes than the other kind.
Yeah, and what are you going to do about people still getting sick, man? It's still going to cost them so much money that they can't afford that. That's still going to cost everybody a bunch of money, too. And another thing... All them, like Phil and them generation, they are becoming baby boomers.
They are not becoming, they was. They're not anymore.
That, what? Yeah, they're still baby boomer. I'm saying they're going to become a retired.
Well, you know, that was the debate you had last night was a lot better. But then again, I mean, you know.
What?
Well, listening to you cats... It's like listening to anybody. It's like listening to anybody out there in America debating the presidency. That's about as deep as it gets. I'm not, you know, and that would probably include myself.
Well, what's that mean? We sound stupid?
No, you don't sound stupid. You don't know. You sound about as informed as the average voter. You know, well, there's a general sense that the Republicans will cut taxes. Well, there's a general sense that the Democrats are going to, you know, give people health care. And on the opposite side, the Democrats are going to turn us into commies and the Republicans are going to make everybody hate women. You know, I mean, that's what's going on. And that's kind of what the national dialogue has just been distilled into. And I got to tell you, just like I said last night, when we talk about attack politics, I don't think it was the politicians that led us down that road. I think they reflect what happens in our country. That's how people debate crap. Anyway, Obama flew into Charlotte on Wednesday afternoon. He appeared on stage at the end. He embraced Clinton. The delegates who cheered and applauded throughout the speech chanted, "We are fired up." This is almost like one of the things about the Democrats this time out that is extremely, seems a little unusual. They are as fired up as the Republicans should be, given what the Republicans have described as the 4 years of just a sort of disastrous presidency, right? And 4 years of a presidency that's super disastrous and super crappy and super this and super that, and yet you've got Republicans who sort of half-assed it through their convention, and these Democrats are all jazzed up, and they're all united, and they're all, you know, ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, because they kicked ass, man.
They didn't kick ass.
Then how come Republicans are not all fired up and everything like that?
That, yeah, they was. They got fired up at Paul, I forget the guy that they nominated to be the vice president.
Paul Ryan.
Man, you don't even remember that guy?
That, no, because I remember the president. Nobody knows the president, or I mean a vice president.
Well, I mean, that's a point. Anyway, the image of that valedictory moment will be pushed hard by the Obama valedictory moment, meaning like, you know, the moment of like a valedictorian on the stage, you know, at a high school graduation. Anyway, Clinton reaches parts of the Democratic Party and independents that the president struggles with, white male working class voters in particular. He formally nominated Obama as the party's presidential nominee, and that was confirmed later in a roll call of delegates. Clinton's 48-minute speech combined folksy ad-libs with a detail-packed, point-by-point rebuttal of Republican attacks on Obama's record. "We simply cannot afford to give the reins of government to someone who will double down on trickle-down," Clinton said. It was also a powerful positive argument for re-electing Obama to finish the job of securing recovery, a task Clinton said neither he nor any other president could have delivered in just 4 years. President Obama started with a much weaker economy than I did, said Clinton. No president, not me or any of my predecessors, could have repaired all the damage in just 4 years. But conditions are improving, and if you'll renew the president's contract, you will feel it. I believe that with all of my heart. What do you think of that?
That's bullcrap. Obama's the guy that put us in the hole in the first place.
No, man, you must not know anything about anything, because what they're saying is that Obama, when he become president, already the unemployment and everything was bad.
Yeah, and he made it worse.
It's got to get worse before it gets better.
What's that supposed to mean, get worse before it gets better?
A lot of times, bud, things just don't automatically go, woo! You know, take right off, man. Here's my solution. Here's my plan. Wow, man, look at all this stuff take off. Especially when you have a country as divided over what course we should take to get things running right again. So, you know, President Obama had a fight on his hands with the Congress over health care, over a lot of different things. And he had the public relations fight over the stimulus package. And there's a lot of stuff. And the auto bailout. And any number of things, politically, he was taking hits. The people, the American people, like to follow the lead of their elected representatives and their president. But in this case, over the last 4 years in particular, take a look at the Congress's approval rating. There's no leadership there. You know, the only guy, to be perfectly honest with it, that looked like he was leading anybody was Obama.
You sound like you're going to vote for Obama.
I am going to vote for Obama. I've made that decision at least 2 weeks ago. I made the decision out of that freaking Republican convention.
You don't think Romney any good?
No, Romney, no. Romney, to me, feels like a guy who's going to walk into that White House and is going to take what may have been a really, you know, specific and strong conservative fiscal plan and immediately water it down for any number of people so that he can, remain true to this sort of moderate image that he's got. I don't see a guy, I don't see a guy like Romney being any more successful than Obama. You know, if all you're talking about is cutting taxes, because I've seen this happen, man. I looked at the history books. Cutting taxes was Herbert Hoover's immediate response to the Wall Street crash. That was his immediate response to the crash, to cut taxes. And unfortunately for Herbert Hoover, you know, he didn't get 4 more years.
Yeah, see, if they would have given him more 4 years, then he would have instead. There is people in soup lines.
Yeah, but see right there, man. There are people in soup lines. You think there wouldn't have been people in soup lines if Herbert Hoover or whatever that guy, what's his name?
Herbert Hoover. You guys don't know who the president is.
Yeah, do you think there wouldn't be people in soup line if Herbert Hoover got reelected?
No. No, there wouldn't.
You don't know that, bud. You know, the Depression was like what we're going through right now, only much worse because there was no unemployment insurance and there was no Social Security and safety nets of this type. These are all things that were brought into being by Franklin Roosevelt. And nobody can tell me about Roosevelt's presidency and what a socialist he was and what a this and what a that he was out of one side of their face and then turn around out of the other side of their face and be all Mr. and Mrs. Social Security and we must protect it at all costs bullcrap like a lot of these conservatives are. And protect my Medicare. I mean, these Tea Party people were killing me. On the one hand, they're sick and tired of government this, government that. On the other hand, make sure you don't mess with my Medicare. Jeez, come on, people. Doesn't that sound funny to you?
Yeah, it's no funnier than what Obama said.
Dude, that's exactly what Phil was saying last night.
Hold on. That's what I was saying, bud. When you turn your count when your counter to what I just said was just to simply go on the attack, then you're not enlightening anybody. You're just basically saying this. Yeah, I know my guy sucks, but your guy sucks worse. And that's no wonder the American people say lesser of two evils. No wonder we talk about lesser of two evils. That's how we debate these things, you know. That's how we make our choices. So in any event, I have decided that I will vote for Obama because I do want to see him have the opportunity to finish what is a job that you know, obviously, you know, is going to take more than 4 years. And quite obviously is a job that was enormous, and he did inherit a lot of, just as I think President Bush inherited a dysfunctionality when it came to terrorism and Al-Qaeda and all of these other things. You know, President Clinton said when he was president that the new battleground for terrorism, he said this before 9/11. Clinton said this. The new battleground for terrorism would be America. Now, I know for a fact he said it because I read it. However, that's a nice statement. But the actual implementation of safeguards, not only to protect the country, but also to find Osama bin Laden and kill the son of a bitch, Bill Clinton was not successful at all. And President Bush inherited a country that was completely defenseless. And I'll tell you something else. 9/11, people don't want to bring it up for political reasons. I'll tell you one other reason why they don't want to bring it up, because that had an economic impact on this country that was devastating. And President Bush also had to deal with that. He had to deal with the devastation that 9/11 brought economically to New York, to the travel industry, to God knows everything else, the stock market, you name it. So presidents inherit a lot of crap. Reagan did. And Clinton did, and President Bush did, and Obama did, and, you know, presidents are lucky if they're not inheriting a disaster as they enter office. Roosevelt did. Herbert Hoover, on the other hand, had a pretty good time of it, man. When he became president, everything was just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's right. Herbert Hoover, he forget him.
Yeah, man, he's a Republican.
Okay, whatever. All right. Thank you for that very enlightening debate, guys, which I didn't take anything from. We'll be right back. Our Phil Henry shop is open with the new Bobby Dooley downloads, so check those out. And we may even be adding to some of those downloads. It's such a popular thing. All right, we'll be right back on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch, the Phil Henry Show.
All right, some closing thoughts here.
Yeah, see what you said.
Take it easy, okay, bud?
Now, all you want to do, make sure all the right winger.
Hold on. The only thing, the reason I look at it, I said what I said about President Obama, but President Bush, look at man, I got no regrets about voting for him. And one of the things that I don't understand, see, I'll never be able to belong to any political party because I can't stand the way those bastards, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, how they hug their ideology like it's their mama. You know?
Yeah, just like they're at their mama.
Yeah, like their mama apron string.
Yeah, I mean, they're all, you know, it's like their little club. I can't stand those bastards. And I don't mean I don't like the people that are, you know, listening to me. But you know, all of these talking head conservative, liberal, you know, all you people should only die. Let me tell you something. And one of the big problems I got with, like, Democrats. When Bush, and I don't know why they actually purposefully avoid this. If you bring it up, they'll say, ooh, you're politicizing a horrible tragedy. Hold the phone here, man. President Bush, when 9/11 happened, the first thing, of course, all of these real asses, I mean, pure, the same people that attacked President Roosevelt, oh, you knew that Pearl Harbor was happening. Yeah, that's right. Roosevelt knew Pearl Harbor was going to come, and he let it happen anyway, because that's really what we wanted to do, is fight a two-front war, the Germans and the Japanese. That was really fantastic. That's quick thinking there, man. And by the way, even though he knew the Japanese were going to attack, he decided to let them go ahead and destroy a bunch of battleships and kill a whole bunch of people, because why? Because that would have made it even more realistic? I mean, even if he knew the Japanese were going to attack, you could have sent planes out to counteract that force of Japanese planes, and you still would have been able to say to the people, hey, look at this, the Japanese attacked, we need to go to war, and look, we took off and we beat back the attack. So what's the point of allowing the Japanese to attack and kill them? There is no point. any more than it made any kind of sane sense to say 9/11 was an inside job. That's the world of fantasy land that most of these people live in, because they don't want to believe that there's a really evil, rotten, stinking, dirty, filthy world out there full of scumbags. They think daddy knows what's going on, daddy being the U.S. government. Everybody's got their version of daddy. Trilateral Commission, the U.S. government, the Jews, this is all daddy. All of this is planned. Everything is working, you know, because a universe that is random, a universe that is just a random place where random things can happen if you're not careful, that they don't want to believe in that because that scares them to death. That's really the thing that scares them. I'm not scared of a government. There's nobody scared of the U.S. government. That's just a bunch of hot air that people like to spew because it makes us all sound like we're what? Like we're all revolutionaries or something? But the softest people in the world politically are American people. I'm not saying we're a soft people, but when it comes to the political realities of life, we are. No wonder the rest of the world looks at us sometimes and thinks we're dumbasses. I'm not here to impress a bunch of French people or a bunch of jackasses north of the border or anybody else. I could care less what they think. But they do think what they think. You know, when we got hit at 9/11, I don't know if people are brain dead or they don't remember or they're not awake. Do you understand the billions of dollars that cost? The $1 trillion hit, I think they said it was, on the economy. I mean, and that was just the beginning of the decade. And people talking about all this money that has been spent by President Obama. Well, you know, let me tell you something. The private sector, the banks, the scumbags that run the banks and the scum that ran the real estate interests and all of those individuals cutting all of the deals that they cut, creating this toxic asset situation that we had to deal with. Honest people, I've never defaulted on a loan in my life, man. I've owned plenty of houses. I own my own home now. I'm on time with my payments, all right? But guess who got stuck with a freaking bill? I did, and I don't mind. That's what happens. Don't start talking to me about this stuff. I agree that what you got to do is what you got to do. But here's the reality. 9/11 cost the country a lot of money. Not only was it money and there isn't a president ever in the history of this country that would not have done two things after 9/11 happened. Number one, he would have, of course, done everything that he could to render financial assistance to any and all, which is exactly what President Bush did. New York, the airline industry, whoever needed it. And number two, would have mounted some kind of a military operation to go find the sons of bitches that did that job, which is also what President Bush did. And it was Afghanistan that was the target, the logical target. You got to be kidding me. Anybody second-guessing that is a liar. Anybody right now saying, well, that's not a good idea. I got news for you. You must have been in a coma, man, when all of this stuff came down. And that costs money, you know? So when Democrats say, what happened to the surplus? Are you kidding? I mean, seriously, are you kidding? More to the point, do you think you got anybody really convinced that that's an innocent question? Do you honestly believe you got somebody sitting there going, oh, yeah, wow, what did happen to surplus? Durr, I don't know. Gee, that was... So how about a little more honesty and a little less sanctimonious self? You know, the Republicans, man, they can beat their chests with the best of them. But you Democrats, man, you cats, you make me sick. Some of the stuff you pull. That's why I, Phil Hendry, have joined a recently, just a very, very recently created party. I went to a meeting it was at one of these Bratskellers over here, the National Socialist Workers. Anyway, this guy named Hitler... The guy's fantastic. All right, we'll see you tonight. Let that be a lesson to you. Thank you. You really talking about being nasty? No. And no. Right.
Phil Hendry.